Welcome to Ventilly Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. I really appreciate you tuning in. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great show. Before we get started, in fact, let me tell you, in the studio with me, we have Dr. David Niven, PhD, and author of the upcoming book, It's Not About the Shark, and there's a subtitle to that, and it's about solving the unsolvable, something like that. I will get the exact title here in a minute. Hey, before we start with Dr. Niven, let me just mention that we have our Dentistry from the Heart event coming up September 12th. We still need dentists, hygienists, assistants. Starting to get a little nervous, so if you can ask your dentist to come and bring his team or her team, that would be wonderful. You may know that about 200 or 300 folks, low-income folks, actually anybody that comes will get free dental care that day. We do free fillings, extractions, and cleanings. It's from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., so spread the word. Come on out if you want some dental care or if you can bring somebody to help. That'd be wonderful. All right, so like I said, today, and by the way, today is show number 345. All right, so let me just tell you a little bit about Dr. David Niven. He has a PhD, as I mentioned. He's known internationally for translating powerful social science research findings into practical advice that anyone can apply to their daily lives. David's book, including The 100 Simple Secrets of Happy People, The 100 Simple Secrets of Successful People, and six other titles in the series, show that a more satisfying life can be had with small, sustainable changes in our actions and attitudes. With more than 1 million copies sold in the U.S. and translations available in 30 languages around the globe, David's books have helped him bring equal measures of science and inspiration into countless lives. He earned his PhD at Ohio State University, and his new book, which is what we're talking about today, It's Not About the Shark, How to Solve the Unsolvable Problems With, will be published in November. So, hey, Doc, thank you so much for getting up and being on my show.
It's my pleasure to be here with you.
I really appreciate it. All right, so This new book, tell me about the genesis of the book, It's Not About the Shark, and How to Solve Unsolvable Problems. Like, how did this one come about? Because it's a little bit, looks like it's a little different from your others.
Well, it's a little bit different in terms of the message, but the sort of the core idea started in the same place, which is that there's all this great research out there that could help you enjoy your life, live a satisfying life, and you're never going to read it. And if you did, it would be filled with jargon. You know, it would be written by a bunch of researchers for an audience of researchers. So that's really how I got started in writing these books, was to almost translate what, you know, academics say to each other into words anybody could use.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Now, my son-in-law is a professor at Syracuse University in brain science, and so it sounds to me like he might be doing some of that research you're talking about.
Well, absolutely. You know, anybody in an academic field, the reward of the job is to be respected by your academic peers, and so you adopt their language, their jargon, their, you know, their ways of being. And in social science, that means that there's research that's about your life, that's about the things you do each day, that is written in a language for you not to understand and not to read and never to find. So that's really how I got started in these books. All the 100 Simple Secrets books are based on that. Let me take the best research on happiness and translate it so you can use it. Let me take the best research on success, translate it so you can use it. The new book is specifically about problem solving, and it's about a line of research, again, that is out there for people to read but is filled with jargon. And this line of research, the core idea is, if you stare at a problem, whatever it is that you're facing in any part of your life, if you stare at that problem, the problem will dictate your options. The problem will tell you what to do next. And if you do that, you'll never solve it. And the research is very clear. If you started by looking for a solution instead of by fighting the problem, you're more likely to find a solution.
And see, I think that that relates to dental care, and I know this may, you might think it's a stretch, but I don't, because a lot of people start off thinking dentistry or a dental visit is going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say all the time that you have, when people take their child to the barber for the first time, for example, they bring their camera, it's a nice event, not once do they say to the little boy or little girl, don't worry, it's not going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when you take a child for their first dental appointment, it's like, well, don't worry, Johnny, it's not going to hurt. Well, Johnny's, even though he's only three, he didn't think it was going to hurt till mom or dad told him it probably isn't. So now he's thinking it is, and now we have a problem, right?
Sure. And I mean, I think you can see it both from the patient side and from the dentist side that, you know, how you view this has a tremendous effect on what the experience is going to be for you. And my first book was about happiness, 100 Simple Secrets to Happy People. And one of the fascinating things about happy people is their lives are just like unhappy people's lives. They get stuck in traffic. They have bad bosses. They have the same kind of life. But what's different is the way they look at it, you know, the thing that they focus on. And just like you're saying, you know, the dental visit can be exactly the same. But if you build it up with fear, it's an entirely different experience.
Right. We did I was at the Cruz de Ville yesterday with our rolling studio, and I met a lot of folks, and want to say hello to several of you that came by. And this one woman was telling me how good she is about brushing her child's teeth, and how she says to her, you know, if you don't brush your teeth, I'm going to take you to the dentist and he's going to pull them all. And I'm thinking, really? You know, this is a well-meaning parent. This, she thinks she's doing right by her child, and I didn't have the heart at that moment to tell her not to do that. So what I hope we can do is, through the lessons that you've learned and the ones that you've written about in this book, is we can give people some tools today to have them better prepared themselves and better prepare their child for their first visit. Now, the title is an interesting title. And tell me about the name of the book and from where did you derive that?
Well, it's not about the shark. As I said, the idea here is that staring at a problem is the best way to stop yourself from solving it. And the title of the book goes back to the making of the film Jaws. And when Steven Spielberg got the job to direct Jaws, it was his first big motion picture. He's a, you know, brand new director. And he gets this storyline about this giant shark that's menacing a town. And the first thing he does is get the best prop people in Hollywood to design him a giant mechanical shark that is going to be the star of his film. I mean, the star. It's going to be on the posters. It's in the first scene. As Steven Spielberg drew up the storyboards, in the very first scene of Jaws was the giant shark eating a swimmer. Just, oh, you know, I mean, that's how it was going to open.
Like, an appetizer.
Exactly. Clomp. And that's how it was going to begin. And so they build the shark. They start filming it, and a couple things become apparent to them very quickly. One is they built the shark in a giant tank of water in California. They shipped it to Martha's Vineyard to film the movie, and it works out. They didn't factor in salt water. They built it in a freshwater tank, and the salt water started shorting out the shark.
Some really smart people do some really dumb things at
times,
don't
they? They do sometimes. They also didn't realize they made this sort of polyurethane skin for the shark, and in salt water it puffed up and it created this sort of giant sea marshmallow effect.
Oh, okay, pufferfish.
Exactly. And so now think about your situation. This is your first big film. The star of your film is a giant mechanical shark, and the shark doesn't work. He'd already spent not just the entire prop budget, but he'd spent the entire initial budget of the film on the shark.
Really?
What's he going to do? And look at that situation. If you stare at it head on, what could he do? Well, he could stop the movie and try and repair the shark. Okay, that's a bad option because, you know, you may not be able to start the movie up again. The studio might pull the funding.
Right.
He could stop the movie and build an entirely new shark from scratch in a saltwater tank. Again, maybe the studio is not going to give you that money. They're certainly not going to start the film again. Or he could kind of hook up some wires to this shark and try and, you know, fake his way through, like he's making Attack of the 50-Foot Woman or something like that. And here's the thing. If you'd done any of those things, the movie would have been a disaster. We never would have heard of it. It might never have been made. We wouldn't know who Steven Spielberg was. But he didn't stare at the problem. He didn't think, what do I do with a broken shark? Instead, he went in an entirely opposite direction, which was, what if I made the movie without the shark? And so he basically ripped up all those storyboards that had the shark eating this, you know, the swimmer in the first scene. And you don't actually see the full-on shark in the movie for 81 minutes. Instead, wow. He uses that sight line, half above and half below the water. And right. He uses that menacing music. Dun, 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 dun. And we get the feeling of the shark, and we bring our imagination to the shark. And universally, Steven Spielberg and everyone else says, that's what made the movie. The fact that the shark didn't work is what made the movie. Because instead of, you know, making a typical horror movie, he made something that was deeper and in a way more profoundly scary. And
because
so,
of that music, people think the shark was in the movie more than it was.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, because the shark had a presence in the movie throughout it, but you don't actually see it. It's your mind that created the shark for most of the movie. And so that's really what problem solving is. If he had just stared at his situation, I have a broken shark, what do I do? He would have had a broken movie. But he thought past that and said, what's possible now? And this is the irony to me. He said in the end, the shark not working was a godsend. And that's really the essence of this, that he was better off for having had the problem because he didn't stare at the problem and let the problem tell him what was possible.
Very cool. Now, we always do a Dr. Kovitko question of the day, and we're going to make it about this book. But before we do, let's ask you to listen to this.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kovitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kovitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kovitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kovitko's question of the day.
All right, and let me remind folks that the winner will receive free flowers from Weistember Florist delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. And you're also going to get a bonus you're going to get this week. You're going to get a copy of David Niven's book, 100 Simple Secrets of Successful People. The number to call, don't call yet because I haven't given you the question, but the number to call is 459-9769. That's 459-9769. All right, so as you know, my guest, Dr. David Niven, has written a book due out this November. What is the title of that book? Is it A, Sharknado, Fact or Fiction? B, It's Not About the Shark? Or C, Why Do Sharks Have So Many Teeth? All right, the winner receives free flowers from Weistember Florist. Go ahead and call 459-9769, 459-9769. So go ahead and call now.
Hey, this is Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito, and make sure you stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kovitko.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kovitko aquí en su estación favorita.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows.
Are your teeth worn down or have crack lines in them? Do you remember when your teeth were an asset? Porcelain veneers can make your teeth sparkle again and all in two visits. Interested? Give us a call at
262-9588. Dr. Kovitko and Associates.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kovitko, let's go! Yay!
Life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kovitko.
Are your teeth crooked, and while you would like them straight, there's no way you would wear braces for 2 years? What if I told you we could straighten your teeth in 6 months between now and your next cleaning? Would you be interested? Call us 262-9588.
Dr. Kovitko and Associates.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? Well, you should. Dr. Kovitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He can put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard. All right, welcome back. We are doing Dr. Kovitko's question of the day. The winner is going to receive free flowers from Weistember Florist. They'll be delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. All right, the question of the day was, my guest today, Dr. David Niven, has written a book. It's due out this November. What is the title of that book? The question, it was A, Sharknado, Fact or Fiction, B, It's Not About the Shark, or C, Why Do Sharks Have So Many Teeth? And Dr. Niven, could you please pick a number from 1 to 4?
Three.
Three? All right, three would be Kelly. Hey, Kelly, how are you today?
Fine.
Hey, thank you so much for listening, first of all, and for calling. And do you have an answer?
Yes, it's B, Not About the Shark.
That's right, that's right. Okay, Not About the Shark. Hey, Kelly, what do you do for a living? I always ask folks.
I'm an activity assistant at the Laurels of Worthington.
Oh, okay, good. Activity assistant. So you you help folks with the social events and the recreational activities, right?
Yeah.
Sounds neat. Sounds neat. Like a cruise ship director for the for a place.
No, I'm not a director. You just
help.
I'm just a little man in a totem pole, but I keep them happy.
Good for you. That's what we want to hear. Well, thank you so much, and stay tuned. Stay on the line because we have to get the information to get you those flowers from Vice Denver, okay? Okay. All right. So, okay. So, David, that, you know, I just love the way you put that title in that book. It's tell me some of the other stories that you did for your research, some of the interesting things you discovered.
Well, you know, the book is a combination of, you know, serious research studies that sort of illustrate this idea that you can't stare at a problem to get to a solution. And then anecdotes like, you know, the making of Jaws, you know, that sort of get at the heart of it. One of my favorites is at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, so many fascinating bits of history, of music's history. But the thing that really stopped me in my tracks was they had at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame John Lennon's 10th grade report card.
Really? Was he a good student?
He was not. He was not a good student.
He was a bad student.
And the report card is just covered top to bottom in U for unsatisfactory.
Oh.
U. And then there's a set of skills, and instead of pluses or check marks, he has minuses. He has minuses in those boxes. And it was striking to me, one of the comments that his teachers made, there were comments on the report card in the little box, and one of them from one of his teachers said that he would have done better, if he didn't spend all his time devising witty remarks. And to emphasize that not only did he waste his time on humor, but that he wasn't even funny. The witty was in quotation marks.
Oh.
And I looked into this. I was fascinated by this. And I looked into this, and it turned out that these teachers, he went to the Quarry Bank School, and that these teachers really saw him as a problem from day one. He was a guy who liked to make jokes. He was a guy who liked to goof around. He didn't much care for homework. And they had from the jump decided that he was a problem. And what do you do if you have a problem? Most people, not like Steven Spielberg, if you have a problem, you attack the problem. And so here is this incredibly bright, creative, vibrant student, probably the most extraordinary person any of these teachers would ever meet, know, have the pleasure of teaching. And what they do with him? They kept him after school for detention. They gave him chore duty. You know, they upped the punishments because they responded to the problem with an attack. And here's the key thing about problem solving. When they punished him, he got worse. And then these teachers were stuck.
Right.
Because what do? You have a student who's misbehaving, you punish him, he's worse. Well, you have basically two options in that world. You punish him some more, and that's what they did, or you give up. And neither one of those is really acceptable or useful directions. And so, you know, the John Lennon story, what's fascinating to me about this is because they saw him as a problem, they really gave up on the idea of ever reaching him, of, you know, anything that they might ever teach him. And because they saw him as a problem, they gave up on the idea that he might have taught them something. Which, and you know, the thing about it is, when he wasn't in school, he was an extraordinary student. He was reading the great works of literature. He was writing little poems and stories, and I mean, his mind was constantly engaged. As soon as he was out of their sight, he was the greatest student in the world. And, you know, the premise of It's Not About the Shark is, what if on day one they'd said, okay, this is not a conventional student, but there's going to be other ways of reaching him? You know, what if on day one, instead of thinking he's not a conventional student, we have to push him into the conventional student slot? What if they'd sort of thought beyond that? And right. how might they have affected him, and how might they have he affected them back in terms of, you know, the experience of teaching them? And the sort of the punchline to the John Lennon story is that 10 years later, after high school, he's John Lennon now. The Beatles are the Beatles. And he gets a letter from a student at his old high school. And the student says that we analyze Beatles lyrics in class. Could you possibly explain to me what some of them mean so that I can make a good mark? And John Lennon found this hysterical because these teachers always thought he was the grandest waste of time. And now they were still trying to make sense of him 10 years later. So any of you who've ever struggled with the meaning of the lyrics of, I Am a Walrus, here's the explanation. John Lennon wrote that specifically to thwart the teachers at Quarry Bank so that they couldn't make any sense of his lyrics. The I am the Eggman, you are the Eggman. It's not meant to mean anything. It was just meant to frustrate those old teachers who had caused him so much frustration.
Very cool, very cool. More from Dr. David Niven and his book, It's Not About the Shark, in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko after these messages.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go? Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we have thousands of happy patients. Stop in and see our before and after pictures. Call us at
262-9588.
State ascoltando Dentally Speaking con il dottor Kvitko, qui sulla vostra radio preferita.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Are you afraid of being seen without your teeth? Are you tired of taking your teeth out every night? Let us show you how implants and fixed bridges can give you a smile that never comes out. Interested? Call us,
262-9588.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call us 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkvitko@aol.com.
I'm Grandpa, and I go to Dr. Kvitko, and I still have all my teeth. Real ones. Where's my glasses?
Whenever I see your smiling face, I have to smile myself because I love you. Yes, I do. And when you give me that pretty little pout.
And we're back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. And if you're just joining us, we have in the studio with us Dr. David Niven, PhD. And he has written a book. He's written several books, but he's written a book coming out in November. It's Not About the Shark, How to Solve Unsolvable Problems. And so watch for that. How will people be able to get this book? Is it Amazon or what?
Where the books are sold once we get to November 4th. It'll be out on November 4th.
Okay. That sounds good. Now, the book that we are sending to Kelly is called 100 Simple Secrets of Successful People, and I noticed you wrote one that was 100 Simple Secrets of Happy People. Are they different, or are they mutually exclusive?
Well, they all start with the same premise, as we talked about a little bit earlier. They all start with, what do we know about this subject? What do experts know? What are the big studies on these subjects know? And how can I make that useful to you so you could take this home and use it today in your life? And so,
it seems to me that if you're successful, one of the criteria would be that you'd also be happy.
Well, I mean, there's certainly some common pillars in this. The most positive sort of outlooks and the most positive habits do carry over. You know, I've written about happiness, success, relationships. I mean, there's certainly some core similarities there. But, you know, the difference is, you know, as the success book is a little bit more focused on your work or your education or sort of that part of your life, and the happiness is more focused on how you're feeling about yourself at any given day.
So that means you're probably a very happy, very successful person, right?
Well, I better be.
Okay. Because I always wonder about people that are writing like marriage counseling type books, mm-hmm. and then they're divorced three times.
Well, I mean, that's one of the questions I've always had over the years from, reporters and radio shows and the like. You know, do I follow these bits of advice? And you know, I mean, the first thing I say is, you know, none of my books are about me. You know, there's a lot of books in the sort of the self-help world that, you know, the author has written a guide to being the author, and that's not what these are. I mean, these are really about, you know, what studies have found, what's the best advice available. Nevertheless, you know, I take lessons from these all the time, and you know, some of them are, you know, small things that you can do that, you know, that affect your outlook. And, you know, I've certainly taken, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that notion that, you know, happy people get stuck in traffic, happy people, you know, get stuck in that lane at the supermarket that's 15 items or less, but the person in front of them has 50 items. You know, that happens to them, but they don't let it dominate their day. They don't let it define their day or who they are.
Right. I think I was looking at this and there was one little section, I don't know, I guess they're paragraphs, and it was something about where you stand depends on where you look.
Mm-hmm.
And so no matter how bad things are, there's always, it could always be worse.
Well, you know, one of the things that I mentioned there is, you know, if you're walking down the street, literally walking down the street, are you looking up or are you looking down? You know, you're in exactly the same place.
Right.
But what it means to you, what it feels like, how it affects you is entirely different if you're staring at your shoes versus looking up at a big blue sky.
Right.
Even if you're in, you know, quite literally the same place at the same time with everything else being the same. And it does have an effect, you know. Silly little things, looking up instead of down, it increases your happiness. You know, silly thing like smiling.
Right.
Smiling is a source of happiness. You know, even though we think of the smile as the result of happiness, smiling is actually a source. As you smile, the person you're looking at smiles back at you. And the next thing you know, the smile created, you know, justified itself.
Right. Yeah. I mentioned I was at Cruz de Vil and I took my rolling studio and I had it washed the night before. And the guy that was doing the washing was telling me, he noticed I was teasing him because on the side of it, I have my caricature and my big smile. And I says, hey, don't forget to brush my teeth, you know? And he goes, well, I got to tell you, I don't like my smile.
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed out what he didn't like. And we talked a little bit about maybe him coming in because, yeah, when you smile at the world smiles back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, people don't really know what to think. Now, I understand that you've worked with Dr. E. Gordon Gee.
Yes.
Did you write the jokes? Did you write those jokes?
I did write some jokes, and I wrote more than a few apologies.
Oh, really?
Sometimes his words get a little bit out in front of him, but he was a fun person. I was a speechwriter for him, and he was a very fun person to be around, and, you know, an ability to connect with people, you know, an unparalleled ability to walk into a room of CEOs and connect with them and then walk into a room of 17-year-old, you know, prospective Ohio State students and connect with them.
Yeah, I love the man. I wish that he were still here, but I definitely wish he were still here with what's going on with the band. But I support the band, by the way. I stand by John Waters. and also, you've worked with Coach Urban Meyer. Tell me about that.
Well, I wrote about Coach Meyer in It's Not About the Shark. Coach Urban Meyer, one of the fascinating things about his experience is he grew up as a good baseball player. That was his first sport, not football. And his father, Bud Meyer, fascinating commitment to the belief that what you need in life more than anything else is effort. Whatever it is, throw total effort at it. And giving up, quitting, going in a new direction, those are unacceptable. And in high school, Urban Meyer was a good baseball player. And one time, he didn't do this very often, one time he struck out. And his father just thought, strikeouts are not acceptable. Told Urban Meyer, you're walking home. Get out of the car, you're walking home. And they lived 10 miles away from the ball field. And so this was a guy with a commitment to total effort. And what's striking is this is how Urban Meyer lived his life. And it relates to problem solving in that most of us get in this trap. If we have a problem, what's the one thing that we can do to solve this problem? It's try harder. You know, what's the one thing that's in our control? It's try harder. And the truth is, if you just try harder, you get trapped deeper in the problem. And
interesting.
The irony for Coach Meyer is that trying harder is what ultimately drove him out of the sports industry.
Right, because of his health.
And he came to learn after, you know, years of trial and error that there has to be a limit to what you're trying to actually solve problems.
David, that is, I'm so glad you were able to come on the show. I think it was a great show, and hopefully people will buy your book, It's Not About the Shark, Solving the Unsolvable Problem. And next week, we will have live from Nashville, Tennessee, an up-and-coming country singer, Troy Ellen Thresh. We'll hear his new song before it's even released and find out how his career is progressing. It's going to be a great show. Be sure to join me Sunday and every Sunday morning right here on your favorite station. Goodbye.
This is Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1. urging you to tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kavitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kavitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kavitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkavitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.